Good afternoon and welcome to the December session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. I'm pleased to be the presiding judge today. My name is Rhett Enbody and I'm from Wahoo, Nebraska. And I'm joined by our chief judge on my left, Judge Frankie Moore from North Platte. And on my right, Judge Rico Bishop from Lincoln. When your case is called, I'll ask counsel to please approach the counsel tables and be prepared then for their case, and I will then call their case a second time and ask the appellant to come forward to start their argument. We do that because we are recording this proceeding today, and it makes it easier to find the case if we need to go back and look at it or if somebody else wants to listen to the arguments for whatever reason. I would also make sure that you understand that we are live streaming this across the state through NET, so if you're dealing with any sensitive or any issues that you would rather not be broadcast out through the power of the internet, that you remember that when you're making your arguments, because once you say it, it's gone and there's no way we can bring it back. And with that, we'll call the first case of the day, Moss versus CNA Industries. The first case of the day is Moss versus CNA Industries. Whenever you're ready. Ms. Conway, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Jill Hamer Conway. I'm here today on behalf of defendant appellant CNA Industries. The simplest way to put the issue before the court today is how can something be barred by res judicata? How can it be there the entire time, then also be a material and substantial change in condition? My argument will show that it's simply an illogical premise to have that the court, when the court made its conclusion in the trial court below. Lamont Kirkland had right knee pain since the accident in 2008 and now requests a knee replacement, which was the basis for his current petition to modify. Even though it should be noted that none of the prior awards, and there were two prior to the appeal today, neither of which indicated that Mr. Kirkland had sustained a right knee injury. And let me clarify for a moment. I'll be referring to Mr. Kirkland, I'll be referring to the plaintiff appellee as Mr. Kirkland. He's also known as Mr. Moss. So those names are interchangeable if I talk about those during this argument today. So again, a quick timeline of events. The accident occurred on July 23rd, 2008. The first workers' compensation trial was on September 18th, 2009. There was then the December 10th, 2009 award. In that award, it was held that Kirkland sustained multiple cuts and abrasions to his legs and arms, trauma to the head, a broken tooth, cervical and lumbar strain, trochantic bursitis, and a medial meniscus tear and strain of the left knee. There is no mention of an injury to the right knee. Thus, the right knee was not found compensable in that initial award.
Was there any evidence at that time at trial that there were ongoing issues with regard to the right knee?
Yes, Your Honor. There was much evidence that there was still an issue with the right knee at that time. In fact, his petition filed before that initial award did indicate that he had injuries to his knees, meaning both knees.
Was there any information, though, at the time of the prior awards that right knee replacement was necessary?
Not at that time, Your Honor. No, there was not that a right knee replacement was necessary. But there were ample notations in the medical records, in discovery, and in pleadings that he did, in fact, have prior right knee complaints. In fact, Mr. Kirkland even admitted during the trial, for the most recent trial, that he had aches in his right knee continuously since the date of injury. And he also indicated those eventually developed popping in his knee, and medical records show that popping began in August of 2008. Again, that was before the initial trial.
But wasn't the medical evidence in this proceeding such that at least the trial court found that the right knee had increased to such an extent because of the work-related injury to the left knee and the stress that the left knee replacement placed upon the right knee?
Actually, there was no discussion specifically about the stress of the left knee replacement caused need for the right knee replacement. What you're probably getting to now is the issue of the altered gait. That the
I believe the weight-bearing words were used as well by Dr. Steyer.
Correct. But what's important to note is that Dr. Steyer gave that exact same opinion in September of 2009 before the first trial. There was his deposition that was taken, and that was taken on September 1st, 2009. And in that deposition, Dr. Steyer noted Kirkland's altered and abnormal gait and that Kirkland's problems with his opposite leg, so at that time we're talking about the right leg, were consistent with the injuries described by Mr. Kirkland related to the incident of July of 2008. So the first time that Dr. Steyer gave an opinion with regard to the altered gait, which is the causation that plaintiff in fact relies upon, plaintiff appellee, that causation opinion was given before the first trial. The altered gait was also mentioned to Dr. Pittner. And on January 30, 2009, Dr. Pittner also noted Kirkland was having altered gait issues. Kirkland himself admitted during the first trial that he had had admitted during the most recent trial that he had had altered gait for 9 years, which would be since 2008. Again, the most current, the first trial was in 2009. And he also admitted that he had used a cane for at least 7 years, which would have been 2010. And the second trial was in 2011. And so all of the causation that the trial court relied upon, that Mr. Kirkland relies upon, that causation was available and was present before the first trial and therefore is barred by res judicata.
And the district court actually determined that there was res judicata applicable here.
That is correct. The trial court did. Yeah. The trial court, again, as I said during my opening, kind of made an inconsistent conclusion that, no, he has had these complaints the entire time. The right knee is bathed by res judicata. Mm-hmm. But, oh, wait, this is also something brand new, distinct, and different.
So is it your position that if he had not had any complaints in his right leg at the time of the original injury, then modification may have been appropriate?
Of course.
Okay. This but because he had problems at the time, it needed to be litigated at that time.
Correct. That is exactly our position.
And you don't believe it makes a difference that the alleged new issue, the increase in incapacity, is the need for a right knee replacement?
No, I do not believe it does. Because
which is different than what the evidence before showed, right? Would
that
you agree
is correct.
To that?
But when you talk about other cases that talk about the material and substantial change in condition, they usually look at the same body part. For example, the case that was cited by plaintiff, the hoisting case, when they're talking about a material and substantial change in condition, they're talking about the exact same body part, the exact same knee. This is a different body part, one that had not been previously worn as compensable, but yet that previous body part had had pain since the initial accident until current. Even Dr. Steyer, who does provide causation, or rather provides, who provided causation for the derangement before the first trial in 2009, even Dr. Steyer talks about throughout his treatment records that the right knee pain is chronic. There's absolutely no opinion from Dr. Steyer whatsoever post the first two trials that say that, no, this is now new, this is distinct, and this is different. Let's look at his opinion now, since we're talking about the material
Can I ask you
issue.
One question before
yes.
we do that? So are you aware of cases in which an appellate court has said you can't have an increase in incapacity if it's to a different body part?
I'm not aware of that, but it's a more complicated burden of proof.
Mm-hmm.
The issue here is if you usually have a case where you're saying an altered gait, it should now be compensable, that is an increase of incapacity. There usually is not evidence of that altered gait before trial, before the first trial, or evidence of that pain before the first trial. Usually it is something that is truly brand new, distinct, and different. Again, this is not brand new, distinct, and different. He has had the complaint of pain in his right knee from day one, and the causation with regard to the altered gait was provided before the first trial.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that the finding of the court was that although there was injury to the right knee at the time of the accident, that it would not have been compensable because there wasn't any severe damage and needed treatment. And that didn't happen until after the fact when the way he was walking was changed because of the injury he sustained to his left knee and to his back.
Okay, I don't believe that is how Judge Frederick in this case did qualify why the knee was initially barred by res judicata. Again, the language that was given previously awarded did not include the right knee. It is the case law that if there is no mention of the body part, That is therefore then a denial of that body part. So the absence of a specific reward for the right knee meant that even though he had the pain at the time, again, it was alleged in his pleadings, it was alleged in discovery, it was alleged to his doctors, he was never rewarded that particular body part.
Were medical bills paid for at the time of the original trial for right knee treatment?
I cannot say at this time. I do not know. I do not remember from the record.
That takes us then to the next part, that because of the change in the way he was able to mobile, the injury that was compensable because of the back injury and to the left knee, this then caused the problem for the right knee.
But again, the altered gait opinion was first done in September 2009 before the first trial. And I can say that that was found in Dr. Steyer's deposition. It was Exhibit 5. It is deposition, page 11, lines, I believe beginning at line 20. And so the causation opinion that you're talking about now was before the first trial. Therefore, the overcompensation issue was already before the court and should already have been argued and awarded at that time.
But the way it was at that point in time is different than what it is now.
But again, what is complicated in this case is we're not talking about a knee that has become, let's take the left knee. Okay? He clearly had a compensable left knee. He later required a left knee replacement. But from the beginning of the initial award, the left knee was always compensable. In this case, again, he had right knee pain from the beginning. It was alleged in his pleadings. He admitted it during trial. He's admitted it in his medical records. He's had right knee pain from the beginning. Therefore, he should have sought compensability for that right knee at the time of the first hearing. The altered gait, which he now alleges he has, was present before the first trial, if not present also before the second trial.
But not causing him any incapacity.
May I finish your question,
you may.
Your Honor? I believe actually it was causing him incapacity because, again, he received treatment for that leg. He had x-rays. He did physical therapy. When he would see, again, Dr. Steyer, the knee was always called chronic. This was nothing material and different. He has had problems from the beginning, and he admitted to having, let me look at the exact quote here, that he had an altered gait for years, at least 2008.
Excuse me, counsel, but the workers' comp court found that it was not compensable at that point.
That is correct. So again, if it was not compensable because of the res judicata.
Not compensable because of whatever evidence was submitted originally in the first trial, when they found that he had sustained an injury to his left knee, suffered back problems, hip teeth, I believe, other problems. All those were compensable. The court found that it is not compensable for the right knee.
That is correct.
But now, because of what's happened between then and now, he is having problems with the right knee. And the way I read what the judge wrote, he's saying that because of this change of the way he was walking, that this caused additional pressure on the right knee, and so now it is compensable.
But again, that opinion on the change gait was present before the first trial. It should have been litigated at that time.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
How long did we take her over? Would you please add that to the appellee side? Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Members of the court, may it please the court, Danny Levitt on behalf of Lamont Kirkland, the appellee. Section 48.141 permits a party to modify an award based on a material and substantial change distinct and different from the circumstances in a previous award. The compensation court made a factual finding in this case that Mr. Kirkland met that burden of proof and persuasion, yet the appellants would have this court on a clear error standard disregard that factual finding and reverse. Now, it is our position that there is substantial factual findings by the compensation court sufficient to overcome the assignments of error by the appellants. I think it's important to note a few of the concerns that the court has already mentioned, and that is that this is something that is distinct and different from the previous awards. In 2008, Mr. Kirkland did suffer injuries to his back, neck, low back, hips, and left knee, as well as the medical records indicating bilateral knee pain.
But he also alleged knees, didn't he?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. But there is no medical testimony that there was a need for a right knee replacement in those previous awards. And that's why it's distinctly
different. But there
was
evidence that the knee had been damaged in the original trial.
If I may be responsive to your question, Your Honor, I think this is explained by the injury-causing event in 2008, causing injuries, let's say, A, B, and C. Throughout the course of 2008 into present, there has been medical care and treatment to those injuries. But now, since 2006, when Mr. Kirkland has a total left knee replacement and the change in the weight bearing and the gait, then there's a need for D, an injury D. So A, B, and C.
So how do you respond to the argument that Dr. Steyer gave the same opinion about the right knee in terms of altered gait and weight bearing in, I believe, his 2009 deposition?
Well, I could be incorrect, Your Honor, but I don't see Exhibit 5 in the Bill of Exceptions. So I'm not sure that this court can rely on that testimony because it's not part of this record.
What about then Mr. Kirkland's own testimony that he had issues with altered gait and weight bearing prior to this application to modify?
With all due respect, I don't think there's any reference to weight-bearing problems in the record before this modification. However, in the Bill of Exceptions on pages 19 and 20, there's a colloquy between Mr. Salerno and Mr. Kirkland in the trial. And in those on those pages, Mr. Kirkland acknowledges that at no point before the 2016 modification was there any indication by a medical professional that there was a need for a right knee replacement. And that's what makes this distinct and different, material and substantial, to modify.
But my problem with it is that originally that there was a claim that he had both knees injured, and the court specifically only found that the left knee was compensable. So if that's the left knee's compensable. So if that's the case, the court implicitly ruled that the right knee is not compensable.
With respect to the injuries that he suffered previously, this was not an injury that he had when those awards were handed down by the compensation. And that's what the compensation court is getting at in its award, is that this is something that is distinct and different from what was claimed before. Okay, so
court's finding that the direct causation to the right knee from the 08 accident being barred by res judicata, you don't take issue with that?
No, Your Honor. Okay. No, I think
and you think it's different, that finding is different than the increase in incapacity?
Absolutely. Pages 20 and 21 of the transcript are very clear that the causation, this case truly does come down to causation, and that the compensation court made a causation ruling here based on the Hohenstein case that Dr. Steyer's finding, based on a medical certainty or probability, that the need for the right knee replacement was due to the injuries of the 2008 accident or the change in the weight bearing and the gait. Now, my friend on the other side made mention of a lot of evidence in the record about gait being treated early on, but that is there's no reference to weight bearing. And in pages, I think, 5 through 9 of the reply brief, they say that it can be either or.
So even if this court... In 2011, there was a further award, right?
Correct.
And at that time, the work comp court found that your client was permanently totally disabled, right?
Correct.
How do you have an increase in incapacity from a permanent total disability?
Well, a disability is a finding by this court in the way that the person can work, their ability to work and earn compensation.
But he's already permanently totally disabled. What is the increase in incapacity to that?
I would defer to Dr. Steyer's findings that there is a need for a total knee replacement.
So this is about pain for the surgery, not necessarily pain indemnity.
This is to pay the medical bills for the surgery.
Because there couldn't be other indemnity, right, if he's already totally disabled.
That's correct, and that's not part of the award that is in dispute on.
But if we're talking about increase in incapacity, he's already been determined to be totally disabled. This, to me, this is really about, in 2011, there was a further award that said that the employer's responsible for future medical costs related to this injury, right?
Sure.
So is this a medical cost related to this injury? And opposing counsel and the trial court said that's kind of a res judicata issue because that was tried in the original trial. And I'm having a hard time getting past that. You know, if it's res judicata, then how do we now award cost for something that wasn't actually determined to be part of that injury at the time it was raised?
If I may just take issue with your premise and then try to be responsive to your question, I think the argument that this is illogical does not hold true because the award in 2011 was with respect to the blood clots that were suffered during a procedure. Okay, that's a different body part than the original award. So the argument that they make that it has to be the same body part doesn't hold true with the award in 2011.
But in 2011, the court combined the scheduled member and the body as a whole injuries to determine that he was entitled to total disability, right?
Right.
So it wasn't just about blood clots.
I accept that. But in this case, again, this is something that is distinct and different, found a factual finding. Again, I can't be clear enough that this is a clear error standard of review for this court, and that the compensation court's factual finding and credibility to the medical providers and their report that this was a cause of the injury from 2008 is what the compensation court found.
I agree with you that there could be a factual issue, but only if we can get past the legal issue.
Okay, if I may refer to the Michie case, which says three prongs of looking at the light of the evidence in the light most favorable to the successful party, which is Mr. Kirkland, as well as any inferences reasonably deducible from the record. And I think that the evidence does show that this is something that is materially substantially different because no other medical provider ever made a recommendation for this kind of treatment at any point in time previous to 2006. So for that reason, I would maintain that this is distinct and different and that the compensation court, and in reviewing those factual findings to find out if there is clear error, that this court remember that it has to be not something that the court disagrees with, something that raises to the level of, and I would quote the federal court, something that's, you know, an unrefrigerated dead fish of 5 weeks old type of standard. So, you know, that enormously high bar is what the appellants are having to face up against. And I would, with all due respect, refer to the reasoning of the compensation court and its factual findings.
I'm just curious why this is a modification as opposed to just an enforcement of the duty to pay future medical expenses related to the injury.
And the difference is, again, because this has never come up before. This is something that we see as, if I may.
Yeah, please.
This is something that we have not addressed at any point before in any award, and no medical provider had ever addressed it before 2016. And the evidence was showing that the procedure of the total left knee replacement in early 2016 changed his weight bearing significantly and drastically to the point where it was seen as a modification of a previous award as opposed to an enforcement of a previous award.
So if I'm understanding your argument and the court's finding, the right knee is res judicata as to being caused by the accident in 08. But your position now and what the trial court said was it was the right knee injury and need for the replacement surgery was caused by the injury, the compensable injury to the left knee.
That's
is
correct.
That the difference here?
That's correct. We take no dispute whatsoever with the award and its finding of res judicata. And we also think that it's reasonable to go from res judicata to a finding of a modification based on the Brzezinski case. That, and Section 48.141, we think that that's perfectly appropriate under these circumstances and facts because this is materially and substantially or any other evidence that was borne out in the records prior to 2000. No further questions.
Thank you. No further questions. I believe the appellant is out of time. We did not take the appellee over. He still is in rebuttal, so. Correct? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here today. Matter is deemed submitted. Counselor excused.
Thank you.